Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly with Sarah and Mike, your guide to the aviation industry. Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Mike. Today, we're diving deep into Boeing's second quarter 2026 10-Q, filed July 28th, covering the period ending June 30th, 2026. This is a company that has been through a structural reset unlike anything we've seen in commercial aviation manufacturing, and this quarter gives us some real data points to work with.
Mike, before we get into the numbers, give us the one-sentence version of what this filing tells us.
If we reduce this filing to one sentence, it's this. Boeing is generating more revenue and narrowing its losses, but the improvement is substantially propped up by a one-time DOJ charge that disappeared from the prior year's comparison, while the underlying commercial and defense businesses remain structurally loss-making. And based on this filing, Boeing is operating in early recovery, but it is a fragile, uneven recovery with multiple execution dependencies that have not yet been resolved.
That's a sharp framing. Let's test it against the evidence as we go, starting with the material changes versus the prior year's same quarter. What moved the needle?
The headline number is revenue. For the 3 months ended June 30th, 2026, Boeing reported revenue of $24.56 billion, up 8% compared to the same period ending June 30th, 2025, when revenue was $22.75 billion. That 8% growth is meaningful for a manufacturer of this scale. In a normal aerospace cycle, top-line growth in the mid-single digits is considered healthy for a mature OEM. So on the surface, 8% looks strong.
But operating income tells a more complicated story.
It does. Operating income for the three-month period increased by $332 million year over year, moving from negative $176 million in the second quarter of 2025 to positive $156 million in the second quarter of 2026. That's the first time we've seen a positive operating income print in recent quarters, and that matters. But here's where the causality chain gets important. The MD&A is explicit that a significant driver of that improvement was, and I'm quoting directly, a decrease in loss from operations on unallocated items, eliminations, and other, $405 million of that improvement came from that single line item.
And what was sitting in that line item in the prior year?
The filing tells us exactly. In the second quarter of 2025, Boeing recorded an earnings charge of $445 million related to an agreement with the Department of Justice. That charge is simply absent in 2026. So when you strip that out, the underlying operational improvement is considerably more modest than the headline $332 million swing implies. The causality chain here is direct. If investors anchor to the operating income improvement without adjusting for that DOJ charge, they are overstating the pace of Boeing's operational recovery.
Net income is still deeply negative, though.
Correct. Net income for the period ending June 30th, 2026 was negative $444 million. That improved by $167 million compared to negative $611 million for the same period in 2025. But Boeing is still burning through the income statement. EPS improved by 25 cents year over year from negative 92 cents to negative 67 cents. For context, a manufacturer of Boeing's scale and backlog depth would historically be expected to generate earnings per share in the range of several dollars positive at mid-cycle. Negative 67 cents, while better, is still a long way from that benchmark.
Let's turn to what management is actually saying in the MD&A. What's the tone, and what phrases stood out to you?
The tone is cautiously constructive, but management is careful not to overclaim. On the commercial side, they highlight that BCA revenues increased by $877 million for the three-month period, driven by higher deliveries on the Boeing 737 program. They're also explicit about the Boeing 737 production ramp. The filing states the program moved from 42 to 47 aircraft per month with FAA concurrence, and a new production line began low-rate production in July 2026, pending FAA certification.
That production ramp is the central execution story for Boeing right now.
Absolutely. And management's language around it is notably conditional. On the Boeing 777X, they state that first delivery of the Boeing 777-9 is expected in 2027, the Boeing 777-8 freighter approximately 2 years after that, and the Boeing 777-8 passenger variant, and this is a striking disclosure, not before 2030. That is a long runway of deferred revenue on a program that has already absorbed significant reach-forward losses.
What about the supply chain commentary? That's been a persistent theme.
Management states directly, and I'm quoting, "We and our suppliers are experiencing inflationary pressures, as well as supply chain disruptions as a result of global supply chain constraints and labor instability." They also note that certain of our suppliers are also experiencing financial difficulties. That language has appeared in prior filings, but the Spirit AeroSystems acquisition, completed December 8, 2025, is now part of the story. The filing attributes some of the revenue increase to that acquisition, which means Boeing has vertically integrated a key supplier rather than resolve the supply chain problem through market mechanisms.
Let's move to the financial red flags and confirmations. From a cash flow standpoint, what are you watching?
The most important balance sheet development in this filing is the long-term debt trajectory. Long-term debt stood at $45.6 billion as of June 30, 2026, down 14.2% from $53.14 billion as of June 30, 2025. That is a meaningful reduction. Over $7.5 billion of long-term debt retired in 12 months. For a manufacturer that was carrying debt levels that dwarfed its equity base, this is a genuine structural improvement.
And the equity picture has shifted dramatically.
It has. Stockholders' equity increased by $9.39 billion year over year, moving from negative $3.29 billion as of June 30, 2025, to positive $6.1 billion as of June 30, 2026. A negative equity position is a serious structural warning sign for any industrial company. It signals that accumulated losses have exceeded paid-in capital. The return to positive equity territory is a confirmation that the balance sheet is stabilizing. Though $6.1 billion of equity against $45.6 billion of long-term debt still represents a leverage ratio that would be considered extreme by aerospace manufacturing standards.
What's the causality chain if the debt reduction stalls?
If Boeing cannot continue reducing debt at this pace, and that depends heavily on free cash flow generation, which in turn depends on delivery rate execution, then the interest burden remains a structural drag. The filing notes that interest and debt expense decreased by $110 million for the three-month period compared to the prior year, specifically because of lower debt balances. That's a virtuous cycle when it's working. More deliveries, more cash, less debt, less interest expense. But the reverse is equally true. If the Boeing 737 ramp encounters another disruption, a labor stoppage, an FAA hold, a supplier failure, that cycle reverses quickly.
Speaking of labor, let's get into the risk disclosures. What's new or escalated this quarter?
The filing notes, no new or significantly escalated risk factors compared to the prior filing, which is itself a data point worth noting. It suggests management does not believe the risk profile has materially worsened. However, there is one specific near-term risk that deserves attention. The filing discloses that Boeing has two contracts with the Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace, SPEA, expiring October 6, 2026, and that negotiations are currently underway with a goal of reaching new agreements in the third quarter of 2026.
That's a live labor risk with a hard deadline.
It is, and the filing is explicit about the stakes. Work stoppages and instability in our and our suppliers' union relationships have in the past and could in the future disrupt and or delay the production, delivery, and or development of our products and services. Boeing's 2024 machinists strike is still fresh context here. That stoppage cost the company billions in deferred deliveries. A SPEA disruption would hit engineering and technical functions, which are directly tied to the Boeing 737 ramp and the Boeing 777X certification timeline.
On the trade side, the filing addresses tariffs. What's the red there?
Management states that tariffs did not have a material impact on financial position, results of operations, and cash flows during the first half of 2026. But they flag U.S.-China trade relations as, in their words, an ongoing watch item, noting that China is a significant market for commercial aircraft, and that the U.S.-China trade relationship remains challenged due to tariffs, sanctions, and export restrictions. That is carefully hedged language, but the underlying message is clear. Boeing's largest potential growth market is partially inaccessible, and the filing does not offer any resolution timeline.
Let's go deeper on liquidity and the balance sheet. $7.24 billion in cash. How does that sit relative to the obligations Boeing is carrying?
Cash and equivalents of $7.24 billion is the liquidity cushion Boeing is working with, against $45.6 billion in long-term debt. That's a coverage ratio that would make most CFOs uncomfortable. For comparison, a well-capitalized aerospace manufacturer at mid-cycle would typically carry cash equivalent to at least 15 to 20% of its long-term debt load. Boeing is running closer to 16%, which is at the low end of that range. The positive read is that total assets grew 6.9% year over year to $165.87 billion, which provides collateral depth. But asset-heavy balance sheets in manufacturing are only as good as the cash they generate.
And the backlog is the key asset here.
The backlog math is genuinely impressive. BCA total backlog grew from $567.3 billion as of December 31st, 2025, to $596.7 billion as of June 30th, 2026. The filing attributes the $34.785 billion increase in total contractual backlog primarily to a $29.4 billion increase in BCA backlog. At current quarterly revenue run rates for BCA, that backlog represents years of forward revenue. The demand signal is not the problem. The execution against that backlog is the problem.
Let's break down the segments. Who's winning and who's losing inside Boeing right now?
Starting with commercial airplanes, BCA is still losing money, but the losses are narrowing. Loss from operations was $322 million for the three-month period ending June 30th, 2026, compared to $557 million for the same period in 2025. That's a $235 million improvement, driven by higher revenues and a lower reach-forward loss on the Boeing 767 program, partially offset by higher research and development spending. The Boeing 767 commercial program is expected to complete production by 2027, so that reach-forward loss improvement is a one-time tailwind, not a recurring structural gain.
Defense, Space and Security, BDS, is supposed to be the stable cash generator. Is it holding up?
This is where the filing delivers a genuine red flag. BDS revenues increased significantly, up $2.167 billion for the six-month period, driven by proprietary and weapons programs, KC-46 volume, foreign military sales, and the Spirit Defense acquisition. But earnings from operations at BDS actually declined by $125 million for the three-month period compared to the prior year. The culprit is a $280 million reach-forward loss on the VC-25 billion program. That's the Air Force One replacement. Fixed-price defense contracts continue to be a structural margin destroyer for Boeing's defense segment.
So defense is subsidizing commercial in terms of revenue, but it's not actually generating the earnings to offset commercial losses.
That's exactly right. And from a margin durability perspective, the pattern of reach-forward losses on fixed-price defense contracts, the T-7A Red Hawk, the KC-46A tanker, the commercial crew program, and now the VC-25 billion, is not a one-quarter anomaly. The filing references a $1,770 million reach-forward loss on the T-7A recorded in 2024, and losses on KC-46A and commercial crew also in 2024. This is a systemic issue with how Boeing prices and executes fixed-price government work.
And global services, BGS?
BGS revenues rose $370 million for the six-month period, but earnings fell $53 million. The filing attributes this primarily to the absence of $145 million in earnings following the Digital Aviation Solutions divestiture and disruptions from an ERP system transition. So BGS, which should be Boeing's most stable, high-margin segment, is also facing a temporary earnings headwind from a divestiture and an internal systems transition.
Let's close with what traders and analysts should be watching and where our thesis could be wrong.
The metrics management has put front and center our delivery rates and certification timelines. The Boeing 737 ramp to 47 per month is the single most important operational variable in this story. The filing also flags approximately 40 aircraft in inventory awaiting Boeing 737-7 and Boeing 737-10 certification, which is expected in 2026. If those certifications come through and those aircraft deliver, that's a meaningful cash event. If they slip into 2027, the cash flow timeline extends and the debt reduction pace slows.
What would prove our thesis wrong?
Two specific data points. First, if the SPIA labor negotiations conclude without a work stoppage before October 6th, and the Boeing 737 line sustains or exceeds 47 aircraft per month through the third quarter, the early recovery thesis strengthens considerably and the fragility narrative weakens. Second, if the VC $25 billion reach forward loss proves to be the last major fixed price defense charge, meaning BDS margins stabilize or recover in the second half, then the defense subsidizing commercial narrative breaks down and Boeing's path to consolidated profitability becomes clearer and faster than this filing implies.
And revisiting our core thesis, does the full weight of evidence confirm it?
It does, with one modification. The early recovery label holds, but this filing reinforces that the recovery is heavily dependent on items outside Boeing's direct control: FAA certification timing, labor negotiations, China trade relations, and supplier stability. The DOJ charge removal flatters the year-over-year comparison. The BDS margin erosion is a new concern this quarter. And the BCA backlog of nearly $600 billion is a genuine long-term asset. But at current delivery rates, and with ongoing losses per aircraft, Boeing is essentially paying to build that backlog rather than monetizing it. From a capital allocation lens, this equity is priced for a recovery that is real, but not yet self-sustaining.
Well said. That's our analysis of Boeing's second quarter 2026 10Q. As always, everything we've discussed today is grounded in the filing itself. The numbers, the management language, the risk disclosures.
This episode is for informational and analytical purposes only and does not constitute investment advice. All figures cited are drawn directly from Boeing's 10Q filing for the period ending June 30th, 2026. Do your own due diligence before making any investment decisions.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Mike. We'll see you next week on Aviation Intelligence Weekly.